Today on The King is Coming.
I love what Dr. Tim LaHaye used to always say. When the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up with nonsense. How can you understand and interpret Bible prophecy for yourself? That's next on The King is Coming.
Have you ever wondered, what is Bible prophecy? How do I even begin to understand it? Is it relevant for today? Bible prophecy isn't just about the future. It's a roadmap from God, revealing His divine plan and providing the trustworthiness of Scripture. But how do we interpret it? And how can prophecy be used as a powerful apologetic to defend our faith? In the groundbreaking Secrets of Bible Prophecy, best-selling author and prophecy expert Jeff Kinley takes you on an unforgettable journey through the mysteries of God's Word, unveiling truth, dispelling confusion, and equipping you to understand prophecy like never before. Now available exclusively from The King is Coming for your gift of $45 or more. Call now or visit thekingiscoming.com to get your copy today.
Well, welcome to The King is Coming. We're in this exciting series called Secrets of Bible Prophecy. We're simply unpacking all of the ins and outs and the puzzle pieces of Bible prophecy, helping you to feel more confident and stable as you look at God's Word and to understand Bible prophecy for yourself. So we're going to talk about today, how do you interpret Bible prophecy? Now, to do that, we're going to look first at some unreliable methods to bring in to bear on Bible prophecy. Then I'm going to give you some strategic principles that you can always apply directly to the Word of God and to Bible prophecy that will help you come to a reasonable conclusion as to what the true meaning of the passage is. So let's begin by doing this. Let's talk about some unreliable methods. These are things I think you want to avoid in interpreting Bible prophecy. By the way, these are methods that many people use today. And they think these are the rubrics, these are the keys, these are the templates, these are the secret sauce to uncover what Bible prophecy is all about. But they end up failing us in the end. Here they are. Number one is numerology. People sometimes will look at the Bible and say, you know what? There are hidden numbers in the Bible. When you add up these verses and you go over here and you compare it to this, there's this hidden code that nobody else gets in the Bible except those of us who understand numerology. Well, this is a practice that is known as, it's called gematria, where basically sometimes people will assign certain numerical values to Hebrew letters and then transliterate those into English, and they'll come up with certain number systems that they think tells them, for example, the identity of the Antichrist. People have used gematria to try to identify who the coming man of sin is, and they've come up, well, it was Ronald Reagan, it was John F. Kennedy, it was Bill Clinton, it was Henry Kissinger, and they have all these ways of arriving at a certain mathematical formula that will tell you what the identity of the Antichrist is. Or they will take certain numbers in the Bible that may be significant numbers, but they don't necessarily speak to interpreting Bible prophecy. So it's a very unreliable method. Yes, there are numbers in the Bible that are significant, the number 12, the number 40, the number 7, the number 3, number 6. There are many numbers in the Bible that are significant, but there's no hidden code found somewhere deep in Scripture that nobody has ever found, that all of a sudden here comes some guy around saying, hey, I figured the whole thing out. So numerology is not a reliable method. Here's a second unreliable method, is the Jewish feasts. Now, specifically here, I'm talking about the Jewish feasts as related to the rapture of the church. Now, I do believe that during the tribulation period, that the Orthodox Jews are going to return to celebrating their feasts, and I believe they can have great significance to the Jewish people during that time. Why? Because I do believe that the two witnesses, and perhaps even the 144,000 that are preaching to the world and to the Jewish people during that time, are going to help them see how all of these feasts and even the sacrificial system itself as the temple is rebuilt really contributes towards pointing towards the true Christ, which those men will then point them towards. So I think there will be some significance during the tribulation for the Jewish people. But in terms of predicting the coming of Jesus at the rapture, there's no correlation, and here's why. Main reason is this, is that when the Jews rejected their Messiah, and Jesus said, if you'd only known this day, in Luke's gospel, when he rode into Jerusalem, the things that were meant for peace for you. In other words, I was offering myself as Messiah to you, but you rejected me. And at that time, God began placing the nation of Israel, not individual Jews, but the nation of Israel, on the back burner. He says, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so the Jewish people aren't going to see Christ until the end of the tribulation period. But watch this. So Romans chapter 11, verse 25 says there's a partial hardening now that's on the people of Israel. So as a nation, the Jews are under hardening. When God began the church, he essentially began a new testament, a new covenant. Now, he's going to come back to the nation of Israel. He hasn't forgotten them yet because the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable, Romans tells us. But God started this new thing where Jew and Gentile individually will do this new thing called the church. And it has nothing to do with Old Testament feasts. So it began at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came into the world. It's going to end the church age at the rapture. The bride of Christ will be raptured up to heaven at the end of the church age. But none of that has anything to do with Jewish feasts. So significant for the Jewish people in the tribulation period, most likely, but I do not see any significance to it concerning the rapture. So watch out for people who say, well, the Feast of Trumpets is coming up. The Bible says there's going to be a trumpet blown at the rapture. So, hey, it must be the rapture, right? That's a sophomoric exegesis, if you will. And speaking of exegesis, here's a third unreliable method. It's what I call newspaper exegesis. In other words, you go read the headlines, you find out what's happening, and you immediately go back to the Bible to try to find some verse that you can cram into that headline to make it have some sort of meaning. People do this all the time. Now, here's a caveat. Here's a little something you need to know. Is that I do believe, and I believe the Bible does speak to this, that there are prophecies in the last days that will emerge slowly. We'll see that here in just a minute. In other words, it's not going to be fulfilled in one night necessarily, but you'll see the infrastructure for these things being set in place right now. I think we see that right now with a global government that we see prophesied in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, Revelation 17. Yes, that's going to happen. And I think we're seeing the infrastructure and the pieces of that puzzle come together, though it's not fulfilled yet. So I do think there are things that are out there that contribute towards prophecy. But that's a far cry from just going out saying this headline fulfills an end times prophecy. There's only been one major headline in the last 100 years that is completely fulfilled, or at least almost completely fulfilled, a Bible prophecy, and that's the rebirth of Israel, May 14th, 1948, as God prophesied throughout the entire Old Testament, specifically Ezekiel 36 and 37, that God would bring Israel back into the land again. So all that to say is we don't run to the headlines. We run first to the scripture, and then we read the world based on that. Here's another one. Number four, this is an unreliable method of interpreting prophecy, to look at natural disasters and signs in the skies. Every time there's a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake, anytime, people will say, well, that's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true, and here's why. The earthquakes, the famines, the signs in the sky that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24 and that we read about in Ezekiel, we read about in Isaiah, we read about in the book of Revelation, those things are specifically taking place during this parenthesis of time that we call the 7-year tribulation period. That there will be a massive explosion of signs and wonders, most of them coming from God himself as judgments from the sky. So what are we to make of earthquakes and famines and all the things that signs in the sky and comets, meteors, all these hurricanes, tsunamis that are happening on the earth today? How do we interpret those things? I'll tell you when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now at this time more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So how are we to interpret the cataclysmic events that are happening right now in the world? Well, I think the book of Romans really gives us a clue on that. In Romans chapter 8, Paul is unpacking this incredible argument of our justification, our fact that we're not condemned, and he goes on to talk about being led by the Spirit of God. He talks about suffering, but watch what he says about the earth here. It says that we know that the whole creation, verse 22, groans and suffers the pain of childbirth until now. In other words, I believe what Paul's saying there is that the earth itself is longing for redemption. It's longing for just to be able to be made right and to be made new again. So I think these are precursors, if you will, foreshocks of the actual events that Christ was talking about in Matthew chapter 24. So do they have some significance? I believe they do, but just not prophetically in the sense that they are fulfilling Bible prophecy. I think these are the ramp up to what's going to happen in the last days. And so certainly they contribute in the background of that whole prophetic narrative, but not a reliable method to say, hey, this matches that verse in the Bible. Here's two more real quickly. Dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. People use these almost exclusively to try to predict what's going to happen in the last days. Now, why are dreams and visions an unreliable method in today's world as to predicting Bible prophecy? Well, a couple of things. Number one is that if something is already prophesied in the Bible and someone has a vision about it, then you don't need the vision because you already have the Word of God. So their vision really adds nothing to what the Bible has already said. Why not just go to the Bible and read what the Bible says? Now, if their vision contradicts or supplements or adds to or augments something that the Bible says, then that vision is to be thrown out. It's not a vision from God. Dreams are the same way. We all have dreams, right? We have many dreams. Some dreams are apocalyptic. Some dreams may relate to the Bible. Dreams probably have some sort of significance in our lives. Who can know the depths of the world of the subconscious mind? And God certainly has spoken through dreams. I believe He probably will in the last days during the tribulation period through His people. However, if they don't match up with Scripture, then we have to throw them out. If they do match up with Scripture, then why not just read the Scripture, which this is what God wrote. So just because you agree with that doesn't really add anything to the Word of God. And the second thing is this. These dreams and visions have no way of being authenticated as actually being from God. In other words, there's no tangible, objective evidence to prove that God gave someone that vision. And so that's why we throw them out. Now, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament during the church age, in the beginning, these visions, these words were accompanied by signs and wonders. And God authenticated those things by that. But we're not seeing that happen today. And so we need to be very wary of people who claim to have a vision, who claim to have a dream, because the Word of God is all we need. In fact, we saw in a previous episode how in the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah, God said, don't listen to these people who are coming to you with their dreams and visions. Listen to my prophets. Listen to the Word of God. Here's a final unreliable method, is that everything is symbolic. Everything is symbolic. In other words, this is how you interpret Bible prophecy. You just read the verse and say, well, this symbolizes this other thing. In other words, they spiritualize the Bible to illustrate certain truths that are also taught in the Bible. For example, some people say, well, the whole book of Revelation is just this. God wins in the end. God is holy, evil, bad. And Jesus is coming back. That's basically the book of Revelation right there. And so they spiritualize all the intricate details and the specificity that God gives us in the book of Revelation by simply symbolizing everything. Well, the reason why we don't use that method is because all of the Old Testament prophecies made concerning Christ's first coming, none of them were fulfilled symbolically. None of them were fulfilled metaphorically or spiritually out there in the world, you know, spiritual. They were all fulfilled literally, physically, specifically, as God had predicted. So that's one of the ways that reasons why we should avoid that method there. So those are six things to avoid in terms of methods. Now, a couple of principles about the nature of prophetic revelation. And then we'll get to three essential keys to interpreting and understanding Bible prophecy. Here's the first principle, and there's much more we could say about this, but I'm going to go over these pretty quickly. Some prophecies are revealed over time. In other words, not every prophecy just lands and it's there. Some prophecy emerges, comes into view, comes into focus over time. Some prophecies contain some missing pieces to it. So in other words, you may see something that's in the world today. It looks like it could be a prophecy, but there's a lot of gaps in the narrative there. It's like, yeah, but it needs this, this, and this to be an actual prophecy. So we need to use our discerning tools to figure those things out. Some prophecies are mistakenly identified. In other words, people say, oh, this is it. Blood moon, this is it. Planetary alignment, this is it. Y2K, Mayan apocalypse, oh, it's all lining up. And they're mistakenly identified as Bible prophecies. Once again, what does the Bible say? And then we can find out what we should say. And then another principle of prophetic revelation is that some prophecies are, in fact, exactly what they appear to be. I mean, there's no guessing about it. For example, when Israel became a nation on May 14, 1948, that's pretty clear. I mean, there's no way to kind of, you know, skirt around that issue or dodge it or jump over it or go underneath it. It's right there in your face. God said that they would become a nation again. And Israel did become a nation again. And today more Jews are living in Israel than anywhere else in the world, with over 7 million Jews living in Israel. It's the greatest homecoming in the history of history. So yes, some prophecies are exactly what they appear to be. When Mary conceived, it wasn't symbolic. It was actual, and it was exactly as predicted. She gave birth to an actual baby boy. So some of these prophecies are exactly what they appear to be. And then finally, this is another principle of prophetic revelation, is that some prophecies are discernible, but not predictable. What do I mean by that? It means that, yes, you look out on the horizon, and you see that, okay, there's a prophecy. It looks like it's coming to pass, but I can't tell when it's coming to pass. In other words, there's nothing attached to it concerning the timing of it. And I would say we have many of these discernible prophecies coming into focus today. Prophecies that are out there on the horizon that we can see that they're coming towards us or we're coming towards them, but we don't know when they're going to be fulfilled. What are a couple of those prophecies? I'll tell you when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So what are some of these discernible prophecies? I mean, things that we can pretty confidently say, this is most likely a prophecy in formation. Well, I think we see it with global governance in our world today. As we know throughout the book of Daniel and Revelation, that Scripture prophesies a one-world government in the last days. I think we can see at least efforts to that coming together. We have institutions like the United Nations, like the European Union, like the World Economic Forum, and others that are trying to coalesce the nations of the world into one government. I think we see it with the rebuilding of the Jewish temple, with the Temple Institute and them drawing up plans for the temple and training priests, manufacturing priestly garments, lavers, bowls, sacrificial instruments, the giant menorah that's going to be in the temple. They're sitting on ready. I think that's a prophecy in formation, but we cannot say that it's fully been fulfilled because it's not predictable. We don't know when it's going to happen. I think there's the technology to enact a digital currency that will enable the mark of the beast to be enacted in the world. I think we're there right now. It's not here yet, but the technology is there. The infrastructure, the ground floor has already been laid for that. That and many more, I think we can see and say are discernible, but not predictable. Now, real quickly, in this last few minutes we have together, let's talk about three essential keys to interpreting and understanding Bible prophecy. I'm going to go through these pretty fast, so we have to listen fast. You ready for this? Number one, principle number one, interpret literally. Interpret literally. Ask yourself the question when you read a Bible verse, what is the normal, plain understanding of this passage? What did it mean to its original hearers? That question is going to lead you to the meaning of the passage. And by the way, every passage only has one essential meaning. It has many applications, but one essential meaning. And the key in interpreting prophecy and all the rest of the Bible is one word. Are you ready? It's the word context. Context. In real estate, it's location, location, location. In studying the Bible, it's context, context, context. Context of the verse that it's in, or even the phrase that it's in, context of the chapter that it's in, then context of the book in which you find it, then the context of all of Scripture. How does it fit in the whole Scripture? So context is key. I love what Dr. Tim LaHaye used to always say. When the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up with nonsense. Did you get that? When the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up with nonsense. So the golden rule of Bible interpretation is let the plain sense speak. That's number one. Interpret it literally as it was written. Secondly, don't ignore the symbols. You say, whoa, whoa, hang on. You just went into this huge thing about we shouldn't symbolize things. That's right. We don't symbolize, but we do recognize symbols. The Bible has a lot of symbols in it. In fact, symbols, if you think about it, represent actual literal realities. Symbols don't represent symbols, they represent real things. So the key is to find out what does the symbol represent. Now, many prophetic symbols and all in figurative languages that we see in prophetic literature in the Bible are explained to us in the immediate or the overall context. So in other words, if you just keep reading, you'll find out what it means. For example, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, it tells us that the lampstands are the churches, and that the messengers, that the seven angels are the messengers of the churches. In other words, the pastors of the churches. Well, we read about in chapter 5, verse 8, that the bowls, what do the bowls mean? Tells us in the same verse, the bowls are the prayers of the incense. We read about in Daniel chapter 2, verse 38, Daniel says that Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold in the statue he represents there. In Revelation 11, Sodom and Egypt are equals Jerusalem. It tells us in the verse what it means. We know that the woman in chapter 12 represents Israel. We know that the wilderness, what the wilderness is. It's the place to the actual place to where the Jews will run to. We know in Revelation 17 and Daniel 7:24 that the ten horns are the ten kings that will rule over the earth. So, and then finally, in Revelation chapter 17 and verses 1 and 18, that the great harlot is Babylon. So you don't have to look far to find out what the symbols mean. Just keep reading the Bible and that context will tell you. So don't ignore the symbols. Don't try to make them into something they're not. Just simply look at what the rest of the Scripture says. And then principle number three is let Scripture interpret Scripture. In other words, that's why we have these cross references. That's why you have study Bibles and those references in the margins, hopefully, of your Bible. In other words, ask yourself this question. Does the rest of Scripture say anything about this? Does anything in Revelation match up what Daniel says? Anything in Daniel match up what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians? Yes. So compare Scripture with Scripture. Compare the books of the Bible. Compare this to what other passages say, because the Bible is written by the same author. So he's not going to contradict himself. So when studying prophetic passages, ask yourself the question, has this prophecy already been fulfilled? If so, how and when? And if not, to what future time does it point? Ask yourself, what's the rest of the Bible say? And ask yourself, is there any evidence to suggest that this prophecy might currently be in formation? In formation. Now, here's another principle you need to know. Whatever method you use, whether it's symbolic, spiritual, whether it's literal, whatever method you use to approach your Bible, will lead you to a particular conclusion. It will lead you to a particular view about the end times. And if you remain consistent in your approach throughout the whole Bible, interpreting every book the same, then you can avoid confusion about the end times, and you can understand Bible prophecy. So real quickly, what are those three principles? Interpret literally, don't ignore the symbols, and let Scripture interpret Scripture. Now, one final thing you need to know is that Bible prophecy always leads to personal application. It's never just something meant for a notebook or meant for our heads. It's meant to help us apply it to our lives. So I would ask this question. This is what I ask myself when I study Bible prophecy. I say, how does this prophecy impact my view of God? How does it change my view of God? Or my view of earth or humanity or of history or of the world system or of my own values? How does it change me? That's a very important question to ask ourselves. Secondly, how does this prophecy impact my perspective on my life? How does it impact my stewardship of the time that God has given to me while I'm here on this earth? Those are important questions to ask. And then also ask yourself this question, how does prophecy impact my relationship with Jesus? We're going to talk about in a future episode, really the goal of Bible prophecy. Don't miss that episode. But ask yourself the question, how does this change my relationship with Jesus Christ? Because we want God's Word to have a real, a tangible impact on our lives. We don't want just to gather facts together. And as we study through these amazing principles, and you know, here are the mistakes to avoid, and here are the unreliable methods, and here are the principles that we're supposed to use to help us get to the right conclusion, yeah, you can believe the right thing and still not live the right way. And so we want to make sure that, first of all, that we treat the biblical text with integrity, and we discover what God has specifically for us there. And then from there, we ask ourselves, how in the world do I apply this to my life? I think that's a very important thing to ask ourselves. I'll see you next time when the King is coming. We'll talk more about the secrets of Bible prophecy.
Jesus spoke often about the end of the world and what it would mean for you as a believer. In Matthew 24, he said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." Jesus wasn't trying to scare us. He was preparing us. In our brand new 6-part DVD series, Jesus and the End of the World, we'll uncover what Jesus taught about the signs of the times, the hope of His return, and how we can live with courage and faith in uncertain days. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you.
We've been studying Uncovering the Mysteries of God here at The King is Coming. And I've written a book by the same title. I'd love for you to have a copy. Just go to thekingiscoming.com and order your copy today.
For any gift of $20 or more, order your copy of Uncovering the Mysteries of God today. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you.